This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to 19 Cats and Counting, Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Rita Reimers. I'll be talking with you about cats for the next 30 minutes. We'll be right back after this message from one of our sponsors.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Back with 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio. I am Rita Reimers. I am a cat behavior trainer. I help people with their cat issues. And that's one of the reasons I do this podcast here on Pet Life Radio, is so that I can help people understand their cats a little better. A couple things I wanted to note. I am now flying solo here and also with my cat behavior company. Linda has moved on to other ventures. So it is just me here. Bear with me if I'm a little rusty. So Cat Behavior Alliance does not exist anymore. I have to close it. It was a nonprofit, and in order to have a nonprofit, you have to have at least three board members. When Linda left, I lost two board members. So now I am Rita Reimers, Inc. RitaReimers.com is where you can go to read my blog, book cat behavior sessions, ask questions, and see videos. Also, don't forget to listen to 19 Cats and Counting. I have a link to that as well. But let's talk a little bit about cat behavior. One of the most important aspects of getting your cat to do things you want them to do is to understand the psychology of cats. Cats are a lot different than dogs. You know, I always like to say, dogs love you until you give them a reason not to. Cats are quite the opposite. They don't really love you until you give them a reason to. And then cats can get super clingy. I have 17 cats here in my household. I did have 19, but I lost two of them this year, unfortunately. They were older, not taking in anymore. So the number is going to be counting down. But I didn't want to change the name of the show and confuse everyone. So I'm actually 17 cats right now. But this week, I almost lost one of my cats, Oliver, who's 15. Let me tell you what I noticed. He was hiding a lot. Now, Oliver was a very social cat with me and with the other cats as well. Also, he started laying on hard surfaces instead of the bed or the sofa. He wouldn't even sleep in the bed anymore, which is not like Oliver. He used to be all on top of me all night long. Anytime I moved a turnover, there was my Oliver. But that last Saturday, he crawled under the bed and wouldn't come out for food. He wouldn't eat. And I know that not eating is very serious with cats. Did you know that 3 days without food, a cat can start developing fatty liver disease, which is often fatal? I'd say 98% of the time it's fatal. So I didn't want to mess around. My regular vet's office was closed by the time I discovered this issue. But I wanted him to be seen. I didn't want to wait till Monday. So I took him to a different veterinarian, one I'd never used before, but he is only about 30 minutes away from my small little town. So I took him there. Very nice office, nice people. Veterinarian was great. I had suspected perhaps there was some kidney issues going on, maybe thyroid. So we did a complete workup, a senior panel, you know, blood tests, radiology, the works, to see what was going on. Meanwhile, you know, Oliver was pretty listless. Let me stop here and say, a lot of people ask me, what's the difference between a cat being one that sleeps a lot and is lazier and one that is listless? All I can say is you'll know when you see the difference. His tail was floppy. He was down in meatloaf position on his haunches, barely picked up his head, wouldn't even sniff his food. You know, if he walked a couple feet and then he'd lay down, that's being listless. That's not being a lazy, sleepy cat. Lazy, sleepy cats will sleep on your bed, will still want to eat, will still want to interact with you. So back to the vet's visit. Now, nothing against this veterinarian. He was very nice, and I'm sure he's very skilled. But he came back and told me that there was severe kidney damage because his bun was up. Now, that's a count that tells the veterinarian if there is a kidney issue going on. And it was really high. So he said there's severe damage to the kidneys. Then he also told me his white blood cell count was up high, which it was. It was at like 23. I don't remember what the normal reading is, but I know that was pretty high. So right away he told me it's cancer and we need to euthanize him. I wasn't ready. There was no way I was going to euthanize Oliver if I could help it. I told the vet, I need to take him home. I really need to think about this. Now, meanwhile, the veterinarian said, well, he's suffering. Well, okay. But I really wanted him to see my regular vet, Dr. Glenn. So, you know, we got through the next couple of days. He still wasn't eating or drinking. I took him in Monday to see Dr. Glenn. And Dr. Glenn said to me, just because his bun is high and his white blood cell count is high doesn't mean severe kidney damage, nor does it mean cancer. The other vet said he felt like a mass in his stomach. Dr. Glenn didn't feel that. Also, his radiographs looked normal. He didn't see anything in there that would indicate a mass. So he took the blood test results and said, let me keep him here for 48 hours of observation. He needs fluids, which he did need. I got sent home with sub-Q fluids from the first doctor. And he wanted to give him some mass doses of antibiotic and see if it was just an infection, a really bad infection, albeit, that would clear up on its own or with the antibiotic help. So I left him. I felt better already that I didn't make the decision to put Oliver down. Oliver's 15. He's been with me for 14 years. I wasn't just going to give up that easy. So I called on Wednesday, and meanwhile, Dr. Glenn was texting me. I called on Wednesday just to see how he was doing because that was 48 hours. And Dr. Glenn said, well, if he doesn't improve soon, he's probably going to die on his own. But let's give it another day. So Thursday morning, I woke up and I thought for sure I was going to have to say goodbye. I got a very excited text from Dr. Glenn saying, he's eating this morning. I was so happy. So we kept him there one more day, and I brought Oliver home Friday. He's very thin. He is eating fine. I have to really give him stuff he loves because he's still not 100% back to normal, but he's drinking water. The first couple of days, he still was laying on hard surfaces and laying under the bed. But he'd come out when I'd walk in. I'd go, Oliver, Oliver, Oliver. And he'd come out to see me. Well, then he started getting back up on the bed for a little while, a couple hours maybe. Last night, he finally slept in the bed with me like he usually does. If I had listened to that first veterinarian and if I had not advocated for Oliver, he would have been gone. I would not have him here. He would have died the week before. So I say to you, if you're never sure about a diagnosis, sometimes it's really obvious it's time, right? But sometimes you're on the edge. I'm not sure. Get a second opinion. My second opinion happened to be my original vet who I trust with my life and who I would have gone to first had the office been open that weekend. But I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I questioned the diagnosis. There is no mass in his stomach, by the way. So he had just a really nasty infection, which is upper respiratory, which can also cause the bun to be high and make it look like it's kidney damage. Now, he's 15. He probably does have some decreased kidney function. He probably does have some issues going on inside, but not enough, nothing that he needed to be euthanized for. That was a big lesson for me and a lesson for you as well. If you're not sure and you're questioning, get a second opinion. Before you make a decision, that's not reversible. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors to talk a little bit more about cat behavior.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio. I'm Rita Reimers, your host. I am a certified cat behavior trainer. I'm also certified in surrender prevention. And right now I'm taking a course to become fear-free certified. And what that means is the way I already operate, always treating the cats carefully, gently, not to cause fear. There are some trainers out there, particularly with dogs, that use fear tactics for training. I don't do that. Understanding what motivates a cat to do what he does is a big secret to my methods and how I get cats to do what we want them to do. I learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs in business class years ago. It's a pyramid, and it talks about on the bottom for people, safety. Safety is the number one priority, safety and security for people, before they can even think about other things in their life. It's the same with cats. They need to feel safe. They need to feel secure in their environment. And what helps them do that? Give them time. If you're bringing a new cat home or you're moving to a new home, give your cat time to get acclimated. I always suggest starting off in a small room. If you give them the whole house, the cat will probably find a way to hide away, stuff himself under something, and it will take a lot longer for him to acclimate. Spend time with him there in what I call the safe room. I have a safe room upstairs in the bath. That's my great room. That's where I start off all my cats. I go in there. I make sure I'm playing soothing music, spend some time with them. I don't force them to interact with me. I just sit by where they're hiding, because usually they're hiding. Offer them some treats. I don't even try to pet them. I let them make that initial decision to come up, rub against me. And even then, when they rub against me for the first time, I don't reach down and pet them. I let them decide. I leave my hand out. If they start nudging my hand, I'll start petting and scratching. When they start feeling or acting like they're feeling a little more secure, we go up the next rung, the hierarchy. And that is, I open the door and I let one of my nicer cats come in, one that never, not that any of my cats attack any of them, but some of them are just like the greeters. My Simon is a greeter. He's very gentle. He'll come in and greet the new cat. There'll be some nose touches. He never hisses. I've never heard him hiss once or growl. So he's the first step in getting new kitties acclimated to my kitty household. I brought in a lot of cats now. So my cats kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, another one. Here goes. They don't care anymore. But the new cat does, because they're not used to the home. They're not used to me. They're probably not used to living with 16 other kitties, right? Or however many I have at the moment. I've had as many as 22. So the thing you need to understand about cats and why this is so important is safety is their highest priority, because survival instincts are very strong in cats. Cats are in the middle of the food chain. They're predator and prey. And outside cats and wild cats spend most of their day hunting for food. So they're out there hunting prey. At the same time, they've got their alert up. They're looking for predators, making sure nobody is going to come after them. Another cat, another animal, crows in particular, like to pick up small cats. So that instinct comes inside, even if a cat's born inside. Those instincts are just ingrained into a cat's mind. So once the cat feels safety and security, then maybe we want to try some playtime, right? A little gentle playtime with a toy, a wand stick toy, a laser pointer, something to get him a little active. Maybe get him to play with one of your cats that maybe is a little more accepting, like my Oliver. Slowly get him to a place where he feels good about where he is. He trusts you, and maybe he trusts at least one of your other cats. Let me talk about the laser pointer. It is a great tool, but there's one caveat to it. Of course, there's no catch at the end, right? It's just a dot that disappears that the cats can never physically touch. So I recommend taking some treats or even a soft, plushy toy. As you're doing the laser and you want to wind it down, throw out that toy, throw out that treat, shine the light on it, let your cat pounce on it, shut off the light. Now your cat's caught the laser. Even Jackson Galaxy agrees with that. So that is a good tool to start off with. If you have a cat that's a little more on the nervous side, like Teddy Bear is here. She's a very nervous cat, very shy. You might want to think about using some calming aids like Rescue Remedy. One I like to use a lot is from Two Crazy Cat Ladies, Cat Calm. And I also like to use Convivial House Cat. Those are all great things for calming. Using some loose catnip or silver vine. If the cats are chewing it and eating it, that's also calming and soothing. In a toy and they're smelling it, you know, that's going to make them crazy, roll around, play harder. But eating it, it's kind of like the difference between eating a gummy and, you know, smoking a marijuana cigarette. They have different effects. And the gummies are soothing because they're edible. So you might want to try with some of that. CBD oil is also good. It helps with anxiety as well as other things like pain, inflammation, anxiety, nausea. It even helps cats with cancer. So that's another thing you might want to always have in your cat medicine cabinet is some CBD oil. You may not need it. Some cats will acclimate really fast. Other cats, you really need to give them the aids to help them start relaxing. Calming treats are awesome if you can get your cats to eat them. Some of my cats will eat them. Some of them won't. You may have to layer things too. It sometimes takes a few different things. Maybe a silver vine treat, silver vine stick, and one of the calming tinctures or some CBD oil all together will help. Also doing some word association so your cat knows what you're about to do. That is so important. Just like with kids, right? That's how they learn to talk is you associate like the word ball with a ball. Or you're going to do that with your cats too, with their toys and even with actions, right? Dinner time. I say, want something to eat? And it's said in that way. So they know it's dinner time. They'll all run to the kitchen and wait to be fed. It's also my emergency recall phrase. What's an emergency recall phrase, Rita? If your cat ever accidentally gets outside or your cat goes in and out and can't find him, you want to say that same phrase, something to eat, that always gets them to come to you. So outside, he'll stop. Hopefully, and turn around and come right back to you because he wants what comes with that phrase. I always recommend to people who do let their cats go inside and outside, maybe they nag them to go outside all the time. Use a certain phrase, outside time, and only take him out when you use that phrase. It'll take them a little while to catch on, but cats like repetitiveness. They like routine. It gives them security so that they know what's going to happen when. They're the same way out in nature when they live in their clouders. Same thing happens at the same time of day, every day. It's very boring, very routine, but that's one of the things that keeps them alive. Just because they're inside and they have all the resources they want doesn't mean those instincts are gone. They're still there. There's a lot of other instincts I could talk about here, but I just wanted to give you the feeling for the kinds of things I talk about in my sessions and the kinds of things we're going to have guests on here on 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio to talk about with me. Kelly Carnes, Dr. Kelly Carnes, is going to be back from Thrive. And we'll be talking with her on the next thing we're going to be talking about is senior cats, which is near and dear to my heart. And I have some other awesome guests lined up too. If you know somebody who would be an awesome guest, write to me at 19cats@petliferadio.com. It will get to me and suggest the person. Or if you want to be on, if you work in the cat industry in some capacity, if you'd like to be a guest, write to me there. If you have certain questions you'd like me to answer on the podcast, I would love it if you would write to 19cats@petliferadio.com and let me know what topics you'd like to hear about or what you need more help with. Meanwhile, you can go back and listen to all of the previous 19 Cats and Counting episodes. They're still out here available to you, as well as the video versions on my YouTube, which is at Rita Reimers. My name, too, is spelled R-E-I-M-E-R-S. Rita, R-I-T-A, Reimers, R-E-I-M-E-R-S. So check it out and make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an issue. Thank you so much for sticking with me through the transitions. And I promise to always give you the best information I can and help you the most I can, so that you have a better life with your cats. I want to thank Mark Winter for holding this spot for me while I went through a lot of transitions in my life. Those of you who follow me on Facebook probably know both my parents unexpectedly passed away this past winter. My mom in October, very suddenly, unexpectedly. It turns out she had congestive heart failure. My dad found her. And 5 weeks later, my dad got Well, he got ill about a week later. But 5 weeks later, he passed from hand liver cancer. We didn't know. He was almost 86. My mom was 79. Never long enough. I'm the only child. I'm the only surviving relative. Actually, I have no family now. But you guys are my family. My cats are my family. And again, thank you, Mark, for keeping the spot open for me. And I hope you'll join me. 19 Cats and Counting here on Pet Life Radio. Remember, every day is Catter Day. And treat your cats like it too.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.